This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
1 hour to go. 1 hour to the weekend. I almost dropped a boom on you, but that's the end of the show, so I won't spoil it. It's a Facepalm Friday. It's a Final Four Feels Friday. It's a Football Friday. I mean, really, we don't have to dress it up. It's just a Friday. Yeah, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll attempt to keep my giddiness to myself, but you know, if you listen to the show on a somewhat regular basis, even semi-regular basis, Fridays usually make us giddy around here. So you are finding us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and taking our Final Four Feels polls. We've got one for hockey. We've got one for hoops. And there is a team that is scoring on a breakaway repeatedly in our hockey poll. Stanley Cup, you've got one team which is giving you the feels, one team more than all the rest. So I'll let you take that poll. Either show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. And our NBA one is completely different. I think part of it is because three of the four teams are the same franchises, not the same players, but the same franchises from a year ago. And then you think about the Houston Rockets, who haven't gotten to this point in a while, but were such a dominant team during the regular season. And voila, we have a hard time making up our minds. We're very familiar with the four teams that are still standing in the NBA's Final Four. Not nearly as familiar with the hockey. And there's good reason for that, because there's a lot of history, unprecedented historic runs for the teams that are still standing in the Stanley Cup postseason. All right, so find those polls. You're also weighing in on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We're going to take more of your calls this hour. A lot of you have wanted to talk about this team getting disrespected and that team getting disrespected. And some of you actually want to talk about the basketball, which is my favorite part, or the hockey, which is, and I mean the matchups and the X's and O's, not as much about what people are saying about your team. Oh, no, we need to stop listening to what people are saying about our teams. Who cares? Because in the end, what matters is what we see on the court or the ice. It doesn't actually matter what people think might happen. Right? You know what I say about predictions? They're just guesses, and most of the time they're not educated anyway. So let people. Certainly, the ability to win on the road is a major indicator of teams that are still standing at this point. And what we've seen from the Winnipeg Jets, not only their ability to win on the road, but the fact that this young team, who has not been here before, not as the Jets, not as the Thrashers, this young team is playing with wild abandon. The fans are a huge part of it in Winnipeg. They've done the whiteouts over and over, which has been really cool. But in their first ever Game 7, playing for a spot in their first ever conference finals, you could tell that they weren't the team that was feeling the pressure. And that's good. Sometimes that's great when you can be the hunter instead of the hunted. In the case of Nashville, sure, the Predators are hosting a Game 7. Absolutely, it's in their place. They've got Sheryl Crow singing the national anthem. I forgot who it was, who was a member of the Tennessee Titans who was getting the crowd all revved up. But they've got all this star power and so many fans that are recognizable by face alone. And here are the Jets, who are in uncharted territory, not the President's Trophy winners, though they did have a better record than all but one other team in the Western Conference this year. So a lot of points for them. They're fast. They can dominate the puck. When they get into one of those stretches where they're extremely aggressive, you're lucky if you can get the puck away from them and out of your zone. And so that team went into Nashville. And starting out, the Predators, game seven, house on fire. The Preds were the team that registered five of the first six shots. And then all of a sudden, and it happened fast, the game completely turned on its head.
Ehlers trying to dance it out of the corner. Myers in from the line. Sharp angle by Myers. Score! Tyler Myers from the goal line sneaks it past Pekka-Rinne. And the Winnipeg Jets have a 1-0 lead here in the opening period. Predators send it back into the Jets zone, and Ben Sherratt, the lead pass, and this gets deflected in by Tanev. Stastny first on the puck. Stastny to the front of the net. Scores! Another sharp angle! And Paul Stastny, first on the puck, jams it from a sharp angle past Pekka-Rinne, and the Jets have a 2-0 lead.
Just like that. 2 minutes and 6 seconds, and the Jets had a pair of goals in the back of net. And Peter Laviolette called them fluky goals. They weren't these incredible sniper shots. One of them, you thought Rinne had it, and then somehow it kind of rolled and bounced and just worked its way into the back of the net. Like, it's still not really sure what happened there. So Rinne gets pulled. He gets pulled midway through the first period of Game 7. Which, according to the NHL and their research, has never happened before. No goalie has ever been pulled that quickly in a Game 7 in Stanley Cup playoff history. So he was out. And thankfully for the Predators, because their fans were a little stunned, they managed to get a power play goal from PK Subban. Now, that was an awesome shot. It pinged off the post and then, boom, hit the back of the net. It was quick to get by Connor Hellebuck. And so before they get into the first intermission, all right, Nashville's on the board. The crowd is back into it. This is it. We've grabbed the momentum, except the Jets were having none of it. They come out of the locker room with the first intermission, and almost the entire second period is dominated by their shots and by their offensive possession. And to get it out of the Nashville zone was difficult. So good for the Jets. Oblivious, impervious to what was happening inside Bridgestone Arena. Mark Scheifele with his 10th and 11th playoff goals. How many people listening around the country have heard of Mark Scheifele or could pick him out of a lineup? The last one was an empty netter, but this was a, by the time they got to late second period into the third period, this was a coronation. And good for the Winnipeg Jets, because as I say, it was their first Game 7, and this team was swept in its two previous postseason appearances.
And the Winnipeg Jets come into Nashville and take Game 7 by a final score of 5-1. And the Winnipeg Jets, for the first time in history, will advance to the Western Conference Championship against the Vegas Golden Knights. And it will start Saturday night at Bell MTS Place. 5-1 your final here in Nashville. And the Jets take the series 4-3.
It's hard to describe because, you know, our fans, I haven't seen an empty seat in our building in 7 years, and we've made the playoffs twice. So, so much of what we do, we take such pride in our community. The people support us, you know, through thick and thin. And it's been a big celebration so far this spring in Winnipeg, and we're just happy to keep it going.
Blake Wheeler on that big win for the Winnipeg Jets on the NBC Sports Network afterwards. Dennis Biak with the call on the Jets radio network. So this is pretty incredible. Think about this. You've got the Jets, who, even as the Atlanta Thrashers, never got this deep into the postseason. Now, they've only been in Winnipeg for 7 years, but, you know, seven's the perfect number. Game seven, the perfect number, and here they are, first time in the conference finals. So the Jets have never done this in their franchise history, and, of course, neither have the Vegas Golden Knights. How awesome is that? You've got two teams, two franchises, and I know the Golden Knights are in their first year, but this is completely new for them and for their fan bases. Awesome. Now, yes, on the Knights and on the Jets, you've got guys who've experienced it, but as a franchises, this is brand new. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. As for the President's Trophy winner, that's the Nashville Predators, their unfinished business. They were on a mission all year. It continues this streak now of the best team in the regular season not succeeding as the Stanley Cup champ, not hoisting the cup in 9 of the last 10 years. And It was interesting to hear Peter Laviolette say afterwards, man, if one of those had gone in, if one of our shots in that second period or even in the early third period had just gone in, maybe the floodgates would have opened. Maybe some of that pressure would have come off of us. Trying so hard, obviously, wanting it, tense, maybe pressing a little bit too much. All those things happen in sports, pro sports, college sports. We're human beings. You understand the expectations and you know what's at stake. And when you've got a team that's playing fast and free and footloose, doesn't have the same pressure as you do in your own building as the team that's expected to prevail. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to carry around. Sometimes it is better to be the hunter and not the hunted. Now, you wouldn't want to trade all that success, but this is difficult because the Predators are out even before getting back to the conference final. So they're done way earlier than they were a year ago when we determined that Nashville was a hockey town. And Subban with the only goal. He's also the guy who will speak up and will be passionate. And there are a lot of people who are blaming Pecorine. And he's saying, absolutely not.
Critics that want to criticize him don't know what they're talking about. I don't care if they play in the NHL or not. He's the backbone of our hockey club, and he's one of the main reasons why we're here. So, I mean, for him, I mean, could we have all been better today? Yeah, we didn't do enough. I felt at times they had their whole team going, and, we didn't. It comes down to that. I think everybody could have played a lot better, could have given more, and I'm sick and tired of people always, talking about him. He's the backbone of this team. He's the main reason why we're here. You talk about top goaltenders in the league. It's him, it's Price, it's Vasilevsky, it's Hellebuck, it's these guys, and we're lucky to have one of them. So, we got to look at this as a team and get better as a team. And like I said, we got a lot of time to think about it, rest and recover, and be ready to win a championship next year.
Yeah, they're not in this position. They're not the President's Trophy winners. They're not hosting a Game 7 if it's not for Pecorine. And so I appreciate the passionate defense of PK Subban. And he did give up two goals in seven shots and got pulled quickly. Coach wasn't waiting, pulled him right away in the hopes that that would spark the team. And also because the two goals were shots that Pekka normally would stop. You have to go back and look at them. They weren't hard shots, just kind of weird bounces of the pucks and weird angles. And if you think about how things can so easily go the other way in hockey, right? A post here, a post there, a shot that glances off a pad or a stick. And it's really, we hear this cliche all the time in sports, a game of inches. But yeah, by the nature of the sport, because there are so few goals generally, we're not talking about a 115 to 110 score. Those opportunities sometimes can be gut punches, if just one of them had gone in. So Pecorine, fantastic, just not last night. Connor Hellebuck with 37 saves, and now the Winnipeg Jets will move on, and they will host the Vegas Golden Knights in the opener coming up on Saturday. It's the Capitals, who haven't been there in 20 years, against the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. That begins this Final Four in the Stanley Cup postseason, though we have to wait for Sunday and the NBA to tip off its next round. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a couple of polls up, your hashtag Final Four feels. We've also got another gem of a phone call for Facepalm Friday. And pretty soon we're going to talk a little more football too. We've got all kinds of FFFFFFFs because I love alliteration. Thanks so much for tuning in to After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Freaky, frivolous, or flat-out flubbed.
Most valuable player means the player most valuable.
A look back on the frankly foolish feedback of the week. It's time for Facepalm Friday.
I mean, that's setting you up right there, telling you how the voice god feels about it. Thanks so much for tuning in. I see your votes are pouring in on social media. We've got the hashtag Final Four feels. We've also got hashtag Facepalm Friday. This is one of our favorite new features because it allows us to be a little goofy with some of the tweets and phone calls, stories that we have during the week. And let's just be honest. Sometimes we don't have to do anything. It's not like we invite it. You all just do this to yourselves. Let's talk to Don, who's in Cleveland. Don, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
It's time that the national media starts giving the Cavaliers respect.
I've already done that, man. You're a day late and a dollar short.
I mean, mostly Charles Barkley. Every year he picks Toronto.
I can't speak for Charles.
And every year the Cavaliers make a fool out of them.
Did you? Well, they didn't win last year. Did you really call me to complain about Charles Barkley?
I called for the national media. Even Stephen A. Smith is not giving the Cavaliers.
Dude, what do I have to do with that?
Oh, maybe not you, but definitely Charles Barkley and definitely
Okay,
Stephen
but
A.
I can't do anything about that. Maybe if you tweet them or if you call their respective shows.
But I love listening to your show. You provide a different outlook. And by the way, the fight, I hope Shaq won.
I accept your apology.
Okay.
I don't think they actually came to blows because they're kind of old men.
Charles did say he wanted to punch Draymond Green in the face, and I'm not even a Draymond Green fan, but I would pay to see Draymond tear Charles Barkley apart in a fight.
Oh.
Maybe he'll knock some sense into him.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Oh, my gosh. And we cut that off. We edited that for re-airing here on the show because he went on and on. Every time I tried to say, man, I don't know Stephen A. and Charles. Well, I do know Stephen A. I don't have their numbers. I can't reach out to them for you. We don't think with the same brain. Every time I tried to point out to him that there are many facets of the national sports media, he just kept coming back to, but Charles Barkley and Stephen A.
But I would pay to see Draymond tear Charles Barkley apart.
What is up with you guys this week? You're all about your team not getting enough respect. Who cares? You guys are so easily swayed by what people say.
And his mom.
Charles says all kinds of stuff just to rile people up.
I meant what I said.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on a hashtag Facepalm Friday. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Alice is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. There's not many people up this early in the morning. I'm a nurse, so I'm on my way to work, and I love listening to your show every
day. Did you say there's not that many people up this early in the morning?
Besides nurses.
Oh, no. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. We're national media. We're national, you know. So, like, on the West Coast, people are just going to bed in some cases.
But anyway, you keep me awake on my ride to work every day. I love your show. But
thanks.
Anyway, I'm calling because I'm a Pens fan, of course. But I love Marc-Andre Fleury, as we all do in Pittsburgh. And we were sorry to see him go. But I have a team to root for because he's the greatest guy, besides the fact that he's a great hockey player, but just a great guy. He was a great guy here in the city, and I'm sure they love him in Vegas already. So, you know, we're really happy for him. As much as we were sorry to see him go, it's just what I'd like to say. I'm sure there's a lot of Penguins fans that feel like me out there.
Do you feel like the Penguins franchise feels like that now?
I really think they do because he was a great guy here. And I said we were really sorry to see him go. I think it was a business decision for them. They couldn't keep two goalies here. I personally feel that they should have kept him and let Murray go, but that's just me. But we're just really happy for him, and I'd love to see them win the Cup.
Well, they have a really good chance, obviously. I mean, each of these four teams, I'm being very diplomatic, has a 1-in-4 shot, 25%. But, yeah, he's been a huge reason why. And I think the fact that he's got multiple cups, James Neal, even having been there last year, guys that bring the experience, even though it's a brand-new franchise, they are not brand-new players. And that's been so important, not to mention he's playing out of his mind. And I have no doubt that the motivation of not being the choice for the Pittsburgh Penguins when he wanted to and believed that he could be a full-time goalie, that's part of the mix. It's amazing what kind of things we can do and what level we can take our performance when we have extra motivation like that. A little chip on our shoulders.
Yeah, he deserved that shot, too. He really deserved it, and I think it was a great – I think it was great for him. I think because he's their goalie. It's not that he's competing for the position with Murray, so I think it's good for him. But thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
All right, Alice, you too. Let's quick talk to Troy. Troy, you got about 60 seconds. Go.
What's going on, guys? So I just want to talk about how proud I am of those Boston Celtics and how ridiculous it is to say that somebody was not giving the Cavaliers their proper respect. That's just ridiculous. Speaking of giving the Cavaliers proper respect, I'm going to say Boston in seven because those guys are playing with so much heart. Heart always goes over talent when there's not enough talent on the other team. Celtics match up great with the Cavaliers, body to body, besides LeBron James, obviously.
LeBron.
So body to body, you take LeBron James out of that game, out of that series,
you can't.
The Cavaliers aren't even in the playoffs.
Okay, so but that's not how it works. I mean, you take Kevin Durant or Steph Curry off the Warriors, and they're not championship contenders. You know, I mean, we're talking about... That's not reality.
You take KD off the Warriors, they're still championship contenders.
Nah, not this year. Not without Steph Curry for 12 weeks. I don't think I agree with that. They had a lot of injuries this year. But regardless, that's my point is you can't talk about the Cavs without talking about LeBron. So what you're doing is hypothetical and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But Celtics in seven, for sure.
Okay. No, so just out of curiosity, who do you think will match up the best with LeBron on the Celtics roster?
I think it's gonna be a wave of defenders. They're gonna throw bodies at him continuously. He's never gonna get the same look coming down the court, and Brad's gonna make sure that he never gets used to playing a person, and that they keep fresh bodies on him, fresh legs, fresh bodies.
Right, but I was asking, who do you think of those fresh bodies will have the best chance of matching up with him pound for pound?
It's a tough question. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the question that every team has got. I mean, there are very few guys that can match up with him body to body. But I do agree with you. I think they'll throw a lot of different looks. The key is to make him work hard on both ends. If you make him work hard on both ends, then he gets tired because that's life.
I think Jaylen Brown is athletic enough and tough enough to stay in front of him. And with the combination of Jaylen Brown and maybe Al Horford waiting for him when he gets to the hole, or Marcus Smart meeting him at the top of the key with Jaylen Brown on him, I think that combination is really...
Well, and right now the guys that he's dishing to are hitting their shot. So we'll see. If we get the Cavaliers, who were all hands on deck last series against Toronto with Kyle Korver and Jeff Green and George Hill and Kevin Love and even J.R. Smith scoring in turns, well, then things become a lot more difficult. Thanks so much for your phone call, Troy. I appreciate you listening in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Hashtag Final Four feels. Andrew's in studio. Do you have Final Four feels?
Like for the NBA? No, I don't.
Or for the NHL?
I mean, NHL, sure. I'll give you that. I'm excited for Winnipeg, Vegas.
Wait, I thought you just told me earlier this week, I asked you on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about Warriors Rockets? And you were like, they're epic series. I'm really excited.
Yeah, but here's my...
Now you're changing your tune.
I'm not changing my tune. Just like, I'm gonna be okay either way. You know, I'm excited for it, but it's also, it's not forefront in my mind right now. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. I just feel like it's a completely different answer than what I got earlier in the week.
Okay.
Maybe it's because you have to wait so long.
Well, wait.
More importantly, I'm going to be asleep by 9:20 most nights. So that first, you know, that first media timeout.
Eastern time.
Can't wait.
Okay. Well, don't you worry. I'm here. Well, I won't be here next week. But after that, I'll be back and I'll tell you all about it. It'll be cool.
Can't wait.
Did I say that about Rockets Warriors?
Yeah. I mean, you said to me, all these series have been really good.
They have been. But
You
I'm
said,
sorry. I'm in a very different place this morning, apparently.
And
like,
yeah,
I don't have feels. I was answering your question directly.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
have Final Four feels.
Got it.
Like, when it starts, I'll watch it. But it's Monday. I'll get there.
Okay. You're allowed to change your mind like a girl. It's fine. 855-212-4227. Well, yes, you know that. You're married. And you've got our Final Four Feels poll straight ahead. The resident After Hours QB will join us for a couple of minutes because it's also a football Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
For
First possession of the third quarter for OU. Anderson sent out, motion right. Baker back to pass. Looking left, flushed right, still looking, throws across the middle. Caught by Kel Jones. He's going to go! 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, pay dirt!
Late stages, first half. Fake to Jones, throw right. Vaughn gets away at the 10. 5, dives towards the pylon. Did he get in? Not yet, he didn't. Yes, touchdown, USC! Tyler Vaughn's with a great move after he made the catch. It sprung him free, and he was able to put the ball right on the pylon for the score. The Trojans will be up by 10.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that was when Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were college QBs. Toby Rowland and Pete Arbogast on the Sooners and Trojans radio networks, respectively. Now they are on to rookie minicamps. That's what's taking place around the world of the NFL this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We are pleased to welcome our resident After Hours QB, a veteran of 12 years in the league himself, Dan Orlovsky, who loves to get up early and talk about football and watch tape and all that stuff. Dan, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. As always, it's good to talk to you. What happens at rookie minicamp? Where do they start to try to get these guys ready for what's to come? Should I keep talking? Wait, is this the point where I talk or where you talk? Are we having technical difficulties? Okay, so apparently we are having some technical problems behind the double-paned glass, but very soon we will connect with Dan as quick as we can. In the meantime, you're finding me on Twitter and on Facebook, A-Law Radio, and After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're asking you about your Final Four feels because, yes, even though it's a Football Friday, we're also heading into the Final Four. So take those polls. And it's a facepalm Friday, too. So once we get to the top after we connect with Dan, Isaac is concentrating so hard. Then we'll give you our last exhibit for facepalm Friday. So I don't know. Should I go ahead and talk about something else? Are you guys good in there? Give me a nod. Yes, yes. Are we waiting? No, go ahead. Okay. All right, so computer problems in there, big technical difficulties. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about something a little different for a minute, and then we'll get back to Dan. I'm not sure if you saw Phil Mickelson's shirt from the Players Championship, but I feel as though it may have inhibited his ability to score. It looked like something that was better fit for a happy hour or a business casual dinner. But that wasn't really what people were focused on, right? Because it was Tiger and Phil together. So they're early on this Friday morning. You'll get them together. Tiger is even, so he's 6 strokes off the pace. Phil is, well, he's in the bottom 3. So I want to know if he changes shirt. So that's something else to look for on Friday. But again, we've got, do we have Dan? Dan, Earth to Dan.
I'm here.
Yes! I'm sorry about that. That was the quality airtime that you could have used for world domination.
All good. All right.
I don't even know if you heard my question, but I'll set it up again.
I did.
Okay,
I
good. Did. They're in rookie mini camp. Good. What happens this week?
Well, I think it's changed a little bit over the years. You know, back a couple of years ago, every team really just tried to take all their rookies and just drown them with information and give them all their offense in 3 days. That was the goal. Teams said, let's give them everything and see how they handle it. And then you put them on the practice field and run them for couple hours a day. I think teams are handling it a little bit differently because they realize it's probably not the smartest thing to do. You know, the biggest thing is when you take these kids, you got to get them, everything's new to them. I mean, the reality is for the quarterbacks, they're throwing a new football competitively for the first time. The speed is different. The timing is different. The equipment staff they're working with is different. So you want to get them just in your building and up to speed as much as you can so that when OTAs start as a football organization and your big boys are here, your veterans are there, that your rookies have a chance to go and at least fit in somewhat, that they're not just – they don't have to stand in the back and do nothing. So you're just trying to get them comfortable enough in your systems and walking around your building, your workout, your weight room facilities, your training facilities so that they're just – kind of slowly oozing into being a part of your football team.
Is the body of information the biggest challenge for new QBs?
Absolutely. You know, I always say this, whether it's a new QB or a veteran, to learn a new offense in the NFL, it takes about 16 to 18 months to really learn it and feel comfortable with it. whether that's a guy coming out of college or that's a guy who's been in the NFL for 6 or 7 years, because everything's just different. I always say it's like the Rosetta Stone thing. It doesn't, you're learning a whole new language and it doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, when you're taking quarterbacks and giving them the information, I don't necessarily subscribe to the thought of let's just bury them with stuff, because then their mind starts going in all kinds of crazy directions. I like kind of baby feeding them a little bit. And, okay, how do you give me feedback? Are you comfortable with this? All right, then we can move on. Are you comfortable with this? Do you feel like you can go execute this on the football field right now for us in a small capacity? And so the information is just so much and it's so overwhelming that if you give them too much too early, and that depends on the player, but if you give them too much, you're not going to see the player that you want to see. So I like giving them a little bit less, allowing them to be a football player rather than being a robot.
Longtime NFL QB Dan Orlovsky, who's also the After Hours resident QB with us here on the show, CBS Sports Radio. Dan, we were talking this week about up-and-comers in other sports simply because of the playoffs and NBA, the Sixers being an example, the Jazz in the NHL. We're talking about maybe the Winnipeg Jets, who are a young team and are on the uptick and on the rise. When you look at the NFL, whether it's because of QBs or off-season moves, or a couple of teams or individuals that you feel like are on the rise or up-and-coming and could make major splashes this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's some teams, Denver, because, you know, they got Chubb, and if Case Keenum can perform the same way, a team that kind of stands out for me that no one's really talking about that I really like their draft, and then I just think they're primed to go on a little bit of run is the Buccaneers. I really believe that Jameis Winston is going to take that, quote-unquote, next step. I honestly feel that. I love the fact that they kept Dirk Cutter because there's a little bit of comfort moving forward into, you know, the next phase system-wise. The Vita Vea pick is huge. I mean, if you look at their defense right now, their defensive line is Vita Vea, Bo Allen. They traded for JPP and Vinny Curry, who had a pretty big impact on the Eagles' Super Bowl run last year. They still have O.J. Howard that they drafted in the first round last year, and he's only going to be significantly better because of that year under his belt. I love Cameron Brate, their tight end. And then their drafting of Ronald Jones out of USC, the running back, he reminds me when I watch him run so much of Jamal Charles. I remember watching so much of the Sam Darnold tape throughout this draft season and seeing Ronald Jones going, wow, this kid's really good. So I think the Buccaneers are really primed to go on a little bit of run, and I completely believe that Jameis Winston is going to kind of come on the scene and be, okay, I'm here to be the first pick that everyone thought I was type guy. And so they still have DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans. So I think Tampa is going to be a force moving forward.
Music to their ears if that actually plays out for the Buccaneers. Dan Orlovsky with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Earlier in the show, we were hearing a little bit from Matt Ryan, his reaction to the new contract, the $150 million, $30 million a year. No one's ever made that kind of money in the NFL. What's your reaction to his deal?
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I know Matt a little bit. I think I always say this, NFL players deserve their contract or earn their contracts. They don't deserve them. The money's just outrageous. So no one deserves that money, but he's earned that money. The players earned their money. It's a very real thing. You know, the question then becomes, does he have to win a Super Bowl? I believe the answer is yes. And I speak glowingly of Matt, and I think he's one of the best 6, 7, 8 in the world at what he does. But it's a production-based business, and too much is given, much is expected. That's just the reality of our business that the NFL is and that position. And so when you get paid top dollar like that, when you get paid top dollar like that, the expectation is your performance will be top. And no organization is paying a guy going, I hope he's just really good. I hope he performs really good. The end goal when you pay a guy like that is the expectation of a championship. I truly feel that Atlanta has a much better chance to go win the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan than without Matt Ryan. And so I completely understand why they made the choice to pay him. I think he deserves it, or I think he's earned it. And they now have a chance to go win the Super Bowl for the next 5 or 6 years because of it. So it's the reality of the NFL. It's the nature of the beast. Someone's going to get more money than him probably in the next 6 weeks. but, you know, that the expectation is different. You know, we're looking at it with Joe Flacco a couple years ago. Yeah, pay him. He's a Super Bowl champion. Pay him. Yeah, he's worth whatever. And now everyone's going, well, they need to draft another quarterback because the performance hasn't been the same. So when you've got number tied to your name, the expectations are different.
For sure. And it was crazy that we were all agog over a fully guaranteed contract for Kirk Cousins that paid $84 million, that will pay $84 million. And then Matt Ryan's contract, which is not fully guaranteed, still guarantees 2/3 of it to the tune of $100 million. So, yeah, I mean, good for Matt. And you're right. We're probably going to see another domino drop soon. Before I let you go, how was it to be on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network? Was that your first time this week?
I was on it last. So what's today? Friday. So I was on it last Monday, the Monday after the draft. We had been in talks to, hey, we want to get you on type thing. It timed out perfectly. It went really good. And then they had reached out to me a Monday of this week. Can you come back on tomorrow? And so I was like, absolutely. It went really good. That crew is absolutely fantastic.
They're fun.
It's tons of fun. It's tons of fun. They've kind of let you go. You know, with me, they send me, hey, these are our topics, and they just go get, you know, be you. And so you can get a little creative with it and whatnot. It's very comfortable up there. I think they've got a really good mix. It was a blast for me. It worked out good, too, because, you know, some of their executives were in town, and some of their decision makers were in town, so it went really good. It's kind of generated some more conversation with some other stuff. So I was very fortunate to be on. It's a lot of fun.
The plan for world domination is in full effect, Dan.
It's moving forward for sure.
All right, you can follow Dan on Twitter at D or it's actually Dan. Dan Orlovsky 7. And he's got this whole plan. He's got tape analysis, he's got podcasts, he's got TV and radio appearances. Don't you forget you're the after hours QB though, Dan.
Never. I'll never forget. I always remember. Trust me. I'm still a peasant. I always will be.
Oh, stop it. You're our favorite. Thank you so much. We enjoyed having you.
Thanks for having me.
Despite the technical difficulties. So we could talk to him forever, but unfortunately, we had to cut it a little bit short there. We have just enough time for our very last piece of fodder for Facepalm Friday.
The fickle, the fraudulent, the frankly false.
Well, I was going to call you J-Lo, back to A-Lo.
Looking back on the feedback faux pas of the week, it's time for Facepalm Friday.
This is, in fact, a faux pas. I tweeted earlier with all my favorite F alliteration, so Final Four feels, Facepalm Friday, Football Friday, and Chris responds... Oh, and then I put alliteration on the tweet because I love alliteration. And Chris responds with, "Oh, alliteration. I didn't know you couldn't read, Amy." And I write back and I say, "Wait, what? I don't understand. Doesn't alliteration mean you can't read?"
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
And on that note, I shall leave you. Talk to you in a week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.